That was very cool this morning, guys. I loved that. I loved it. Did you love it? And Exodus 3:14 says, and God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So I am sent me to preach this word to you this morning, all right? He's a good God. No matter what you've faced and been, what storms have come, what trouble. Boy, that was awesome, that song, wasn't it? Oh, well, maybe it wasn't. I am saved in Jesus' name, highly favored, come on, anointed, filled with your power, filled with the glory of Jesus' name. Lord, I will remember what Calvary has brought with for me, both now and forever. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so flipping good. I am saved in Jesus' name, highly favored. You've got to love that. In fact, it's almost enough to get a religious person excited. Because we're talking about a living God, not a dead God, okay? The verse I want to center my message around this morning is right here. I have been, Galatians 2:20, for those who need the scripture reference, who don't know their Bibles well enough to know that's where I'm reading from. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been. Everybody say, I have been.
I have been.
It's a terrible story. I'm not a have been, I'm a. How does it go? I'm not a have-been, I'm a... Oh, no, that's what it is. I'm not a has-been, I'm a... human being, whatever you like to put there, really. Just tell a person sitting beside you what that next line should be. I'm not a has-been, I'm a something that's pretty darn cool, okay? Hey, good to see Yokes and Chan in the house this morning. Great to have you here. My brother all the way from... your land, actually, Langkawi Island. He likes to live there. You don't have to work. You just chill out, retire, and live duty-free. No taxes. That's a place for you want to live. Anyway, good to see everybody here, actually. You're all looking good. Nico, who cut my hair this week. Look, that's why I'm looking so sharp right now. Nico, you're looking good. You haven't got Jackie with you this morning? She's exhausted. Unbelievable. Okay. But anyway, good to see you all right? Are you all happy?
Yeah.
All right. So we're trying to get into this. I'm not a has-been, all right? I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said, and I no longer live. Now, I tell you, we struggle to get our head around that. It's easy to read that. I no longer live, but he said this, but Christ lives in me. Most people you talk to, you'd never believe that. It's no longer me that lives, it's Christ who lives in me, okay? So Paul said this, and he said, the life that I now live in this body, I live by faith, everybody say faith, in the Son of God, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to read that one more time. I don't know whether it's up there. No, it's not. So we just go one more time by memory, okay? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Anybody feeling loved by God this morning? Okay, that's good. There's a whole lot in the New Living Translation that says my old self. So those of you who are narcissistic, narcissistic, is it meant to be? Narcissistic? Taking selfies of yourself all the time? Actually, there's no such thing as a selfie, really. In fact, if you're taking a selfie, it generally includes somebody else. So to correct whoever preached here the other week, most selfies include someone else. If it is just you, you are a narcissist. But most selfies include someone else. I think it's a great treasure in life to live your life including others in it. If you're not including others in it, if you're living for yourself, you are a narcissist. Even if you call yourself a Christian, if it's all about you, get lost. You're a narcissist, all right? You need to include others in your world. That's what it should be. That's what Paul's saying here. He said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. What did Jesus say? I came for the whole world, not just for one or two of us. He came for the whole world so we could all enjoy the blessing of salvation. This morning, we buried the body of my dear mother, okay? And thank you. I want to thank those who attended that funeral. No, not a funeral. That celebration of her life. Thank you very much for those who took the time out and travelled all that distance and took a day off work. Come and support us in that celebration service. It was a great thing to celebrate my mother's life. The fire brigade turned up. The building caught fire. Boy, I tell you, when you try to bury a Christian, it's like... But anyway, it was just very, very exciting day, actually. And very exciting day, in fact. It was pretty out there. It was... funny thing is, when we all had to evacuate the building because they reckoned there was fire, when we all had to evacuate, they left my mum's body in there just to prove to all of us that she ain't there. Okay? So it was pretty out there. And we celebrated mum's life, and it was very awesome. And she lived a great life. And my message this morning is probably based around reading through some of her many, many diaries and many journals, which she consistently kept a record of her devotion with God. She was devoted to her Saviour. No wonder when I went to visit her in hospital on her final moments of time, and she looked up with a smile on her face, even though she was in pain and obviously at the point of death, looked up with a smile, in fact with a big grin, and said, "Donald, I want to say goodbye to you. I'm going to be with Jesus." So we can be, as I think Paul says somewhere, we're not like the world. We don't get depressed and sad about this stuff. We rejoice in our salvation because we live eternally. Hello? Not telling you stories now, I'm preaching, all right? And so this is the word of God that we center our life on. That we center. Whoever you are this morning, if your life's not centered on this morning, you can find your center in Christ. If you live an uncentered life, you live an unbalanced life. Thousands wander and stagger through life unbalanced and unknowing of their direction, their destiny, their purpose. Thousands without purpose. But it's great to know the Word of God as a center in your life that gives you purpose and direction in your world. And we need to live with purpose and live with direction because you'd be a lot happier that way. So there'll be opportunities at the end of the service. But that's what Paul said. So it's no longer me that's living, it's Christ in me. No matter what the circumstances, it's Christ in me who's living, okay? And that's why this morning, when we lift up the praise in this house, we all get excited about praising God. And when we fill the space with praise, you can get healed right in your seat. When we fill the place with praise, it's amazing what miracles God does, because God turns out. In fact, it stops God. Praise stops God. How many know that? With Bartimaeus, it says that when he began to praise the living Savior, Jesus Christ, it says Jesus stopped and stood still. Some of you need Jesus to stand still in your life for a day or two instead of having him rush on by on journey to another destination and just get him to stop in your life and bring a miracle and bring a revelation and bring hope and bring peace. So praise will unlock that. Praise is what stopped Jesus for Bartimaeus. Jesus was on his way out of Jericho. Incidentally, it's interesting that he was on his way out of Jericho, not into Jericho. When Jesus came to Jericho, Bartimaeus in the exact spot crying out, he needed a miracle, let me tell you. He was blind. He couldn't see a thing. No vision, no purpose in his life, no nothing. Bartimaeus is sitting there at the gate of Jericho, blind. Couldn't see. Jesus walks by him. Obviously, there would have been some sort of a crowd, walks into Jericho, and miracles happen. People get healed, amazing miracles. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot of what happened, but it says there was a very exciting thing happened in Jericho. No, even though the city had been cursed previously, even though in a former generation it had been given no hope, no matter what your life represents today, no matter what your past represents, no matter what your has been was, God says if you were cursed, you can have a miracle today. If your generation before you did stuff the wrong, you can have a miracle today. If you've had sickness in your body throughout generations, you can have healing today. Yeehaw! That's pretty exciting, because a lot of people live according to what happened in the former generation. Somebody said to me the other day, there's been this in my family bloodline, and this and that in my family bloodline, so it's going to happen to me, I'm going to end up, this is how I'll die and all that. And I'm like, my God, I have been born again. I'm no longer of the bloodline of my family on the former life, but I'm the bloodline of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying when he says it's no longer me that lives, it's Christ living within me. You're not like your forefathers. Come on. Do what we've just done this week. Unearth a few of the family things. Have a look through a few of the records and find out you don't want to be like your former great-great-great-grandparents and all that. You want to be like the newborn Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new person. So I don't care what your past dictates over you. Jesus said you can start again. And some of us need to start again. And you can start again today. You can start again right now. And that's what Paul's talking about in here. He's talking about, come on, let's get excited about the God who saved us. That's why we praise like we do. When we fill this place with praise this morning, anything is a possibility. Never ever fill the... You can fill the place with a complaint if you want to. It's easy to complain. You can fill the place with a complaint. You can fill the place with your worries. You can fill the place with your concerns. So many people live by their concern. I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about it. Get over yourself and get excited about the Christ who lives in you. And then you start to live a bigger life. Just praise Him. Let's take a praise break right now. One, two, three. Here we go. One, two, three. Jesus, we praise You. We give You all the glory this morning. You're a bigger God. You're a mighty God. You're bigger than our circumstances. In fact, Nico, as you sit there, I want to tell you right now, you're no longer a result of your past. You're no longer a result of the heritage of your family. You are a brand new creation. You're going to live as a man of God, testify as a man of God, affect people as a man of God, and you will carry an anointing on your life that will affect the world around you. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, put that on Him right now in Jesus' name. Shut my hand, Holy Ghost. See, we can live according to our past if we choose, but my Bible says that we can live bigger than that and we can enlarge the capacity of our life. So it's easy to live a complaint. It's easy to live according to your circumstances. David said this in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord. I will. Okay, everybody just say, I will. We read Mum's will this morning, okay? This she said, this is what I will. In my final statement of my life, I give this paper to the lawyer. You can read this out because this is what I will to happen with all my deeds, okay? I will. David said this. He said, because you've got to speak to your soul sometimes. Your soul will feel sick, down, depressed, angry, disillusioned. Your soul can feel all the emotions of life, but we're talking about the great I am this morning. And get where I'm going here. I'm talking about the great I am. Just in case you thought I missed, I am lives inside of me. So let's title this message this morning, I am the great I am. Take a selfie right now. I am the great I am. And what I'm trying to get to you there, even though it may be hard for you to get, the great I am lives on the inside of you. The great I am lives on the inside of you. Oh, bull, the way most of you are excited. No, he doesn't. I said the great I am lives on the inside of you. Yeah, the great I am lives on the inside of me. Come on, the great I am lives on the inside of me. Let's try that one more time. The great I am lives on the inside of me. One more time. Some of you are not saying it yet. The great I am lives on the inside of me. So why are you depressed? Why are you worried about yesterday? Why are you worried about your past? Why are you worried about things that should no longer concern you? Because the great I am lives on the inside of you. Why do you continually talk about that sickness, that disease, that circumstance in your world when the great I am is living on the inside of you? Why do you condemn people around you? Why do you judge people and condemn them and say there's no hope for them when the great I am lives on the inside of you and all he sees is victory over every single person? I tell you, the great I am lives on the inside of me. Come on, one more time. The great I am lives on the inside of me. Jesus said, I will come and dwell among my people. He lives on the inside of you this morning. Got to move on, or time will be up before I even get my first point out. But David said this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34, if you want it. He said, my soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear and be glad. Did you get that? The humble shall hear and be glad. So what he's talking about there, it's proudful to think that you are too big to lower yourself to declare that Christ lives on me and it's no longer that I live, but Christ who lives in me. And to think you're so arrogantly in control of your own life would be proud, pride and arrogance, but to declare and humble yourself to be able to say, man, God lives on the inside of me. I have the great I am living on the inside of me. Anything's a possibility. I'm filled with faith and hope because the great I am lives on the inside of me. I overcome negativity because the great I am lives on the inside of me. Doubt and fear flee when I enter the room because the great I am lives on the inside of me. Healing turns up when I enter the room because the great I am lives on the inside of me. So there's healing all over this place today. Oh, let me just read you a text. If I can find my phone. I did have it. Oh, here we go. I just remembered this. We were in Australia this week. I took Zahn. Where are you? Oh, he's out with the fire. They're fire kids. And I heard Clark Taylor, who ministers at this church sometimes, I heard that he was very ill. So I thought it'd be really cool to go and pray for the guy, you know? And so the day before I left, I said, Clark, heading your way, going to come pray for you, buddy. And let's believe for a miracle in Jesus' name, okay? And so anyway, I turned up there. I turned up in Australia, and I was in the first. I took Zahn to Planet Shakers Conference because I just wanted him to get around some youth pastors that just couldn't care less about the circumstances or what people say, just fired up about what God can do. Not caring about the naysayers and the boring people who don't want to get into praise and worship and think that we need to be contemporary, so contemporary and user-friendly that we have boring services that don't fire anybody up. I want them to get around some of those people that say, let's have the presence of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that rocks and shakes you out of your comfort zone and releases you into the victory that'll save a generation from going to hell. Get around a generation and some young people that are fired up enough to believe that miracles can happen in a youth service in Jesus' name instead of going along there and playing games and singing lullabies and talking about your inner problems and your last flipping need and getting fired up about the presence of God that can launch you into the expectation of the future and prepare a way before you that man can't prepare for you. Anyway, in the middle of that first meeting, Clark Taylor tries to ring me, which I couldn't have heard him if I tried to. Music was too loud. Oh, there's a complaint. But anyway, I couldn't talk to him. I just sent him back one of those messages you just press and you say, sorry, can't talk. Anyway, so then he sent me a text and he said, I don't think I can last another week. He said, I think I'm on my way out. I can't come and visit you. I was going to drive to the city. He lives 3 hours out of the city. He said, I can't come and visit you. We will not get to connect on this trip. And so I said to Byron, screamed at him, sorry, in the middle of the praise and worship, hey, read this. And he read it. And I said to him, what are you doing tomorrow? And he said, well, we're attending conference. And I said, well, we're not now. We're driving out into the middle of the outback to see Clark. 3 hours drive out there and then a 3 hour drive back. So we jumped in the car at 4:30 we got up. 5 o'clock we left and we drove out to Clark's house out in the middle of absolutely nowhere, the sticks, okay? Very beautiful, but the sticks. Oh, I'd hate to live there. I don't know why he lives there. And anyway. And here's, I just got this message from him. And here it is. Don, I am so much better, thank you. I've been working around the farm again. Even been down to the bore. You've got to realize when we got there, he couldn't move. He could not move, okay? Slightest movement was agony to him, and his body was kind of shutting down. Well, we went there and we just spoke the word of life over him, and he said, I've just been down to the bore and filled the tank, and that gravity feeds the water troughs for the cattle. My shoulder, by the way, is much better. I've been able to walk normal steps for the first time in months. I am now hanging out the washing for Anne. That's pretty right. Awesome. You know you've had a miracle when you're doing that for your wife. My lower back no longer has any pain in it. Hallelujah. It was excruciating before you arrived. What can I say except praise God and thank you very much for coming all this way? I really was in a bad way, and now I'm so glad to be well and on the way to recovery. I appreciate the effort you both took to come. I have been thinking that it was finished, that I would not be preaching again as the pain has been too severe for too long. But this morning I rose early, reading my Bible, fellowshipping with the Lord, and as I have done for many years, believing and receiving the anointing afresh and the power of God. So get ready, God is effective in helping people. Hallelujah! And I just thought I'd share that with you. Not because it's about me, but it's about the great I am lives on the inside of you, okay? So even when you're at a conference, it's not about you. See, a lot of people go to church because it's about them. You missed it right there. If it's about you, if you're here today about you, sort it out. You're a narcissist. Take a selfie right now. If it's about you, if it's what you can get out of the worship, you're a narcissist. It should be, what can I do to affect my row? It should be, what can I lift up in praise to usher the presence of God? What can I do here that would so shake the atmosphere that someone who's come depressed today, someone who's come needing a miracle, can catch it just because I am so preciously anointed by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit? Just touch a person right now and say, be healed. To touch the person beside you. Be healed in Jesus' name. Come on, let's stand up and do that right now. Let's stand up and do that. Let's activate something that's on the inside of us. Because greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. That's what God was talking about. Greater is he that lives in you than he lives in the world, in your circumstances. Someone around you needs a miracle right now. Lay your hand. I don't know what that miracle is. We're not going to go personally asking every person in the room. But somebody needs a miracle. So in Jesus' name, prophesy. The great I am is healing you today. Come on, the great I am is healing you today. You are restored by the great I am in Jesus' name. The great I am is doing a miracle in your world right here and now today in Jesus' name. The great I am is doing a miracle in your guys' life, in your business. Every business person in the place right now, every entrepreneur, slip your hand high in the air. Just felt that right there. If you're an entrepreneur, a business person, or a wannabe, okay? You want to be an entrepreneur. You want to be a business person. You've got the dream on the inside of you. Lord, we prophesy over you today and lay a hand on them right now. We prophesy over that business and we call it blessed in Jesus' name. We activate the word of God over that business. We activate hope over that business. We activate the kingdom of God over that business. And we pray in Jesus' name today in church that the great I am would get on your case and cause your world to flourish in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody yelled out. Amen. Woohoo. Okay. So, man, I've totally screwed this up. Like, I did have notes. I got to admit, I did have notes, okay? Promise you I had notes. Matthew 11, verse 12 says this, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know, this is incredibly important to you. If you don't know who you are, you will live an unbalanced life. An uncentered life, if you have nothing to center your world on, it becomes imbalanced. Anything kind of goes. Any wave will flip you up. Any wind, like the storm we had last week when I was out of the country, thank you, Jesus, the storm that we had last week, will stuff your world up. It'll somersault you. It'll put you into a turmoil. It'll cause you to sink. If your life is not centered, if you don't have a gravity point, if you don't have something in your world that can hold you, an anchor, many preachers say, that you can put out, that the anchor will hold you in a storm. But I would say we need to have a point of gravity in our world that will direct us and guide us in the day when we have no direction, when the circumstances are against us. John 10 is an incredible... Just turn with me to John 10. Let's have a little bit of Bible, shall we? John 10, John chapter 10. Bit of Bible for those of you that think I'm not using it. John chapter 10. I don't know whether that's coming up or whatever. I've got it here in the New King James Version. Some of you like the North Island Version, the NIV. NIV's okay. I think that's what we're going to have it in, is it, Jamie? Everybody give Jamie a hand clap. He's awesome. is that what's happening? Yeah. Shall we all read it together and try to be quick? Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. Is that? Oh, yeah, okay. Carry on. Next verse. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Stop right there. Okay, let's just recap on some of what we read, okay? Jesus said that the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. Let's say that together. The sheep listen to his voice. Very cool passage. When I became a born-again believer, when I got born again, which doesn't mean that it was based around I was sort of in a mess and I needed Christ and I needed a crutch. I got born again out of a decision I made in my mind that I wanted to be a Christ follower. Okay? A decision in my mind that the best life you could ever live was having Jesus on the inside of your life that gave you hope, peace, direction, and he secured your eternal destiny in life and made everything a lot better on the way along. That's how and when I became. And one of the first lessons they taught me, they said John 10 is going to become a key center point in your life. The Word of God should be a key center point in all of our lives. I don't know if we even read the Bible half the time or we base our life on it, but John 10 is an incredible scripture that can change your entire world around and cause you to be powerful in God, rise above your circumstances, and live in victory every day of your life. Okay, so he goes on, he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him when he has brought out all his own, da da da, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Often we go off track because we're not centered on the Word of God and we're listening to every voice. I want to challenge and encourage us today. Let's be people of the Word. Let's understand the Word and let the revelation of God's Word be real to us. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling. So he's having a deal here with the Pharisees, who were the religious order in his day, okay? The religious order of his day, who never got it right, and Jesus was angry at them most of the time, and he didn't like them, okay? That's the religious people of his day. If you feel unliked by God today, maybe shake off some religion and all that trying to put on an act of religion and just live cool and be who Jesus wants you to be. I don't know. Might work. Therefore, Jesus said again, very, verily, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. That's a very important verb. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever's entered through me will be saved, and they will come and go out and find pasture. Thief comes, verse 10, you all know this verse. Thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Do I need to read that again to get you excited? Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, okay? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, okay? The hired hand is not the shepherd, he's a boss, okay? So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep, runs and saves himself. Save yourself, you know, a lot of that in the world today. Save yourself, that's that selfie thing again. All about me, save myself and forget about you. We need to be bigger than that. 13, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep and they know me. That's a very important verse right there. I am a good shepherd, I know my sheep. He knows you. The Bible says he knows how many hairs you've got on your head. Thank you, Alan Swafford. Getting easier, that's a good point. We could make that a point. We could make that a point in the message today. Is it getting easier for God, or are you making it hard for God? Because a lot of things we do make it hard for God. We just make it hard for God. We do stuff that makes it difficult, like not reading your word, like not having a devotional time. We make it hard for God when we don't center on his word. We complain about our circumstances because we are uncentered. We fall easy. What is the center? What is your life centered on? Paul is sitting down the back. We've sailed a few seas together. And so I know through being taught by Paul that in the middle of a storm, that it's no good just trusting your instinct. You've got to focus on what used to be the compass or now is the GPS, okay? The GPS. What's your GPS in life? Is it the word of God, or when everything goes to pieces, is it your school teacher's voice that's louder than this? Is it the naysayer's voice? Is it the negative complainers? Is it the user-friendly, don't let God get too big in your world that's controlling it? Or is it the power of God's word? That's the center of your life. No matter what we're faced with, I know we have a generation that's faced with all kinds of difficulty today, but I'm still going to say, get back to the word of God. The answer is the great I am. Not some secular humanistic idea where we make you a better person on the outside or learn you to control your environment instead of being reborn on the inside and Christ lives in me, hope of glory. Is this okay today? You're very quiet. All right, so goes on, I'm the good shepherd, we've read all that. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. Boy, that's a challenging verse. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen that I must bring them also. But we mostly turn them away by our religious activity and our boring old religion that's not free enough to invite anybody into the kingdom. And love them without condemning them and grace them without being judgmental in their world. Let's be user-friendly for people who are hunting for Jesus. Are you with me? He went on to say in verse 18, 17, this reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life for the sheep only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Boy, that's so flippin' cool. Just get your head around that. That's a, we could read the whole chapter, but boy, I'm running out of time rapidly. Verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Who are you listening to today? Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can scratch them out of my Father's hand. No one can, sorry, snatch. Snatch them out of my Father's hand. Then verse 30, I and the Father are one. Again, the Jewish opponents, the Pharisees, the religious idiots, picked up stones to stone him because he said, I and the Father am one. They hated that. Really, are you saying that you and God are the same? Are you saying that? Anyway, but Jesus said to him, I've shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for the good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. I love Jesus' answer. It is not written in the law. I have said, is it not written in the law? I have said, you are gods, little g. Flip, it's all there, eh? Have I not written in the law, in your law, he said to them, that I have said, you are gods, little g. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart, who in his very own and sent them to the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of the Father. Goes on and on. Verse 40, then Jesus went, so they tried to ridicule him, they tried to pull him down, they got on his case. And again, verse 39, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Don't you love that? Escape the grasp of negativity. Escape the grasp that would pull you back and hold you in yesterday's issues in your life. Escape the grasp. Let's refer to Bartimaeus again, okay? Bartimaeus. Jesus coming out, not going in. He totally missed it when Jesus went in, but he had an ear to hear. And so he heard that miracles are happening in there. He couldn't see, no vision, no nothing. People say to me, well, Don, what's the vision of the church? Who cares? Bartimaeus had no vision and more faith than most of us in this room. No vision, couldn't see, hadn't seen for years. He didn't have a vision. All he had was the Word of God. Hello? The Word of God. Word of God will put you on track, I tell you. You know, we struggle with our leadership because we think leadership center. We've taught a generation how to do church, but we haven't taught them how to do the great I am. Hello? We've taught them how to do church. It's all about church, programs, this order and that order. But what about the great I am, who releases a few miracles in our lives, and when we turn up, God turns up because the great I am lives on the inside of me. I can see you're not excited about that. Let's move on. Then Jesus went back. It's an interesting verse that. Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days, and there he stayed. And many people came to him there and said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about the man was true, and in that place many believed Jesus. Let's just say one thing before I give you a couple of points to finish with, okay? One thing I want to say is Jesus went back to the foundation. When he was under attack, he went back. What do you go back to when the storms are against your life? When you're in the middle of a storm, like Paul and I have been out in the middle of the ocean, miles from terra firma, and a storm blows up and you've got nothing to hop off on that's solid, but you rely on the GPS. My brother also a sailor, so he knows all about this stuff. Nothing to stand on except the Word of God, your GPS or your navigational instruments, okay? What navigates you through the storm so you don't lose your gravity center and topple over like many do? They topple in leadership. They topple. So many topple today. God is on the move. Miracles are happening right across the planet. The church is growing at an alarming rate. Don't be afraid. So why would you, in the Western, easy, contained, comfortable, pussy environment, lose your faith when people in countries that are under threat of death and criticism and being shot and killed because of their faith, and yet we would, as leaders, not have the intestinal fortitude to rise up and say, let's go in Jesus' name. Because that's what this is about. Jesus had a foundation. Under attack from the religious leaders and every Pharisee, and they're going to stone him and kill him, goes back to the foundation of where he heard from his Father, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, for our interpretation today. From Paul, okay? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Who are you today? Just ask yourself that question, okay? Church is not about marketing our next theme. Honestly, church should never be about marketing our next theme. It's about what our foundation is. It should be the Word of God, okay? People don't come to church because of our marketing. People turn up at church because they're in a war. They're in a fight. They're struggling. They're looking for hope. They're looking for answers. Man, we should be the most answering people in the world. And it's in our praise that people receive their victory in Jesus' name. And that's how it happens in life. I'm pretty careful. If you're not careful, you'll come to church out of convenience and for your convenience. Happening all over the Western world right now, people are coming to church because is the seats good? Is the worship just right? Is it not too loud, not too soft, not too whatever? Is the person sitting beside me not BO? Is everything just cool? Have I got enough gap between me and the next person if they don't upset me? It's about convenience. These days in the Western world, I nail that because in China they're having flipping revival right now. In most of the third world, they're having revival because not about convenience. It's about people who need the presence of God and need a miracle. I need a miracle every day, so let's go for miracles. So in the midst of storms, in the midst of crisis, what are you centered around? What is determining your balance? The other thing that Paul has taught me on the ship, you don't just go by the compass or the GPS. You go by the direction of the wind and the waves. So the wind, think about that, the direction of the wind. What's the Spirit saying to you? What's the Spirit of God? When did you last hear the voice of God? What's the Spirit of God saying that would direct our life, cause us to be more fired up tomorrow than we are today? What are the waves doing in your life? What's the waves? What's a wave? The wave that would cause you to actually negotiate your next step, to be powerful in the place where God has set you, so that you can maintain the right set of the sails and the right direction to go over the next wave? Or will you quit in the next wave and allow the next wave to flip you around so that you go off willy-nilly, whatever? Okay? And turbulence can come into your life in many ways. Your work, interactions, people around you, circumstances, sickness, whatever. Time's up. Maturity is not about getting older. Maturity is never about getting older. Maturity is about studying the Word of God and making it alive in your life so you become more mature in Christ. So that what I'm going through doesn't affect me any longer, but I influence the atmosphere. So I'll just rattle these points off and then we're going home, okay? Jesus said, I and the Father am one. And he said the same about you. If Christ lives in you, if him and the Father are one, you and God are one. That's why we can say today, I and the Father am one. And that's in verse 30, okay? So believe me, God lives on the inside of you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. If you don't understand any of that, next time you put ice in your water, you have a glass of water and you put ice in it, you'll understand what Jesus is talking about. I am the Father and one. The ice is no different to the water. They're both H2O, okay? One's just in a different state. And that's it. And then when you boil it, see, the understanding of the Trinity, I am the Father and one, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all that is all every day in our life. Every time you boil the kettle, you take water, whether it's an ice form or whatever form, happens in your kitchen every day, an example of the Trinity. You boil the water, it becomes steam. Is that still H2O? Yeah. The water was H2O. The ice was H2O. It's all, I and the Father am one. One element can be three things. It's pretty simple. You can understand it in the basic elements of life of how we can be powerful in God, okay? And so let's not teach a generation about church. Let's teach a generation about God, that he is the great I am, that he can change your world, that he is all-sufficient, almighty, all-healing, all-victory, all-joy. That's why we can sing that song a lot more heartily than we sang it. As the musicians come, thank you very much, because we're going to finish. And we're going to sing that just one more time. God is so good. The great I am is so good on the inside of me today. Anything can be a possibility and probably will. Okay? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, Paul said. Then he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, okay? So, good shepherd will lead you into good food. He'll give you good food, okay? You'll know his voice. You'll hear his voice. The other thing Jesus said, I am the gate, and I open the gate for you, in verse 9. And you know what? He opens the gate. There's good pasture on the outside as well as on the inside. I am your way of access, God was really saying there. When he says, I am the gate, he's saying, I am your way of access. The great I am, whoopsie, just about lost my balance. Back to the word. When he was on there, he was saying in verse 9, I am the gate and I open for you. Which means, in actual fact, that he has given us access into our victory right where you are. Anyone going to grab that today? So when you praise him, as we're going to in a second with the song, what you're doing is you're giving access to God to open up the great I am in every part of your world. Healing, restoration, your business, whatever. That's why David said in Psalm 100, you will enter his gates with thanksgiving and you'll enter his courts with praise. So God's saying, when you praise me, why don't you use the key of David that I gave to him, that you will enter his courts with praise. Be a gate this morning and open up to let the power of God come and do miracles in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that all right for a Sunday morning? You know? I was just... Before I do finish, a gate. If Jesus is saying, I am the gate, then there'd be something about you that you are a gate this morning. So let's open up. Let's swing a little bit. What can I do this week to assist somebody, this church? What can I do this week? Who have you called last week? Who did you encourage last week? Who did you text last week? Call yourself a leader? Call yourself a leader? And we're all leaders. Call yourself a leader and you didn't encourage someone to be in this house this week that's not here this week? Open your gate. For goodness sake, we've got texts, we've got iPhones, we've got every facility possible to encourage someone into the kingdom of God, and people seem to need it because they're not centered on the word yet, but we can get them there. Let's be a gate. Always remember, at the gate, everything happens. In the Bible, at the gate, everything. Contracts are signed. You meet people at the gate who are important and significant in your life. Opportunities happen at the gate. You are a gate. I prophesy opportunities over your lives this week. I prophesy breakthrough. I prophesy hope in your life this week. I prophesy incredible breakthrough in your world this week. I prophesy healing. I prophesy your kids coming back to Christ in Jesus' name. I prophesy family members getting saved in Jesus' name. I prophesy you coming alive enough to affect the world around you in Jesus' name and not complaining about the circumstances that you are in. In Jesus' name, I prophesy revival over Inspire Church right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I pray. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you that it liberates the captive and sets prisoners free. I thank you right now, Lord, that your word would come alive in our lives this week and instigate incredible hope, destiny, and a future that would change our circumstances in Jesus' name. I pray for every marriage here, every home, every family, that they would reap the benefits of the power of the word of God this week in Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed and your eyes closed, maybe today you're in this place and your life is not centered on the word of God. Maybe you don't know Jesus and you don't know the gatekeeper or the shepherd this morning, and maybe today you want to say, I want to let Jesus be the good shepherd of my world and my life. Maybe today you've walked away from God and you're living a life outside of his blessing and his richness, and you're lost and unbalanced in your world. I want to give you an opportunity to respond today, and I'm going to say, friend, whoever you are, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just lift your hand quickly if you want to be included in that prayer this morning, because I believe that Jesus is here today to rescue you, to show himself to you as a good shepherd, and to bring hope and love and forgiveness in your world. Who is that today? Really quick, lift your hand if you include yourself in that. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. That's awesome. Who else is there today? Right now, lift your hand real quick. Thank you, honey. I've seen your hand. You can put it down again. Anybody else right now? Anybody else? Just one more time. I'm going to ask right across this place. Don, I need to get right with God today. Don, I need to make a decision today. Anybody else? Real quick. Yeah, God bless you, God. God bless you, guys. That's so awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all stand to our feet, shall we? And we're going to sing, God is so good. But before we do, I want you to pray this prayer. Those who lifted their hand, lifted them for a reason this morning. Because God is so good and his presence is so real. I want you to pray this prayer right across this place. Let's all join in and say, Jesus, we want to thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you for your word, which we can center our lives on. Today we receive your word. We receive forgiveness. We receive salvation. And we receive hope in our purpose and our destiny through the love of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, God, for holding back. Today we make a decision that we will follow you. Amen. 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 Here's what I'm going to do, okay? There were people that lifted their hand. There were people that need to just come on the altar this morning and make a praise declaration over your life, your sickness. If you're sick, get up here. If you're struggling in a storm, get up here and make him the center of your world again. But we're going to finish today with God is so good. I'm inviting you, if you need to, if you lifted your hand, if you feel you need to be on the altar, I'm opening this altar today as we finish with God is so good.